Hello, fellow Vikings fans. I'm Scotty Ball, and thanks as always for visiting those of us here with Vikings Digital Diaries at thesportsdaily.com. Well, we are a couple days removed now from the 2017 NFL Draft, which saw our beloved Minnesota Vikings come away with hopefully at least a few impact players here for the upcoming season to get us back into the playoffs where we belong. Fans and media alike can't help but think about and talk about the draft results. And since we are both media and fan here at Vikings Digital Diaries, we are no different. So that is what we're here today to discuss on the podcast, is the Vikings draft, and give maybe some overall grades at the end of it. Who knows? But when I say we, I'm not referring to the proverbial we, as I sometimes do. No, I do have a guest this week that I am extremely excited to have on. She is a very passionate Vikings fan, very dedicated Vikings fan. She is the world's greatest boss, if you happen to work for her, and she is the visionary behind everything that we do here at Vikings Digital Diaries. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show Christy Brusso. How are you doing, Christy?
I'm good. Thank you for an outstanding introduction.
Great. Oh, it was. I could have did it better. It was the least I could do. I had to trim it down, actually. You know, we didn't want to be in too.
Well, you know, I've never been called a boss, so I'll take it.
Right on. All right. Well, Christy, let's get started. Not with the Vikings' first player selected in the 2017 NFL Draft, but rather what they did with that first pick that they had in the draft, which would have been 14th had the Vikings not traded it to Philadelphia at the beginning of last season to acquire Sam Bradford. I like to start with that because we did use that pick. You know, it's a lot of people just think that we didn't have one, you know, but we used it and we acquired Sam Bradford with it. So do you have any thoughts on that before we get into the players we selected?
Do you know who they took 14th pick?
I think it was Derek Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee, I want to say.
Right. Well, I don't really know who that is. Yeah, I'm not. I'm sure he's a very credible, but I don't honestly know much about him. And I'm just saying that not to be disrespectful, but I'm going to say kind of, I'm going to go along with what all the other experts are kind of saying. Truly, I believe Sam Bradford is better than anybody. Anybody that was drafted in this year's first round, and anybody that, you know, we could have drafted.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, you know, I don't see it as us. Was I disappointed to not have the first day, just to, you know, as a fan? Absolutely. But with that being said, I just don't think people give Sam Bradford credit. I mean, he was, in my opinion, one of the league leading quarterbacks last year. Nothing against Teddy. I don't have huge faith that he'll return. Nothing against him, but Bradford stepped in, you know, what, a week before the season started, and was solid, like the most solid quarterback we had. I don't know, ever.
Right.
Ever days. I mean, honestly,
yep. Recent
yeah,
memory
so
for sure.
I mean, really, exactly. And so, I mean, we'll see what he does. This, I just don't think we could have done any better with our first round pick.
I completely agree. I'm a very team needs based guy, and we all know that quarterback is the most important position on a football team, if you have to, you know, label one as such. And if we wouldn't have used this year's fourth round pick on Sam Bradford last year, not only would we have not had a quarterback for all of last year, but who knows who our quarterback would be this year. And I think out of all the possible options, Sam Bradford has proven to be probably the best out of any of those. Yeah, right. Well, yeah, nothing against Case Keenum. You know, come into camp and wow us all. Nothing against Case Keenum.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure he, you know, I think a lot of people don't really give him a lot of credit, kind of making fun of the signing. But to me, I mean, if he needs to step in and start, he is absolutely capable of doing that. So I was a huge fan of that signing as well. Not to get off track, but
no,
just
I
throw that out there, you know.
To stay off track for a second, I agree. I think he's an ideal backup quarterback. when you already have a solidified starter. I think, you know, totally agree on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to the first player that the Vikings actually selected in the draft. They were sitting at pick 48 in round two, and then GM Rick Spielman decided to trade up all the way to pick 41 to select running back Dalvin Cook out of Florida State University. Before I get into, you know, my quick pros and cons on both the trade and the player, how did you feel about the trading up to get him first off, and then what did you think of, you know, the actual selection?
Well, I thought we would have a chance at him, have a shot at him. So I didn't know a lot about him. I had to kind of look him up after we drafted him. I knew the basics, but, you know, I had a lot of film on him. And, you know, the first article that pops up when you Google his name is, you know, shooting the, or the puppy abuse, you know, all the arrests and all the legal issues and whatnot. But, you know, if you can work past that, actually watch him on film, he's obviously incredible. And in my, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the puppy situation, no matter what anybody says and how, you know, how it's not serious, whatever. I'm obviously not a fan of that. But, I mean, we had Adrian Peterson on the team, you know, for how long? And he wasn't the most outstanding citizen, so kind of have to look past comes the NFL, unfortunately, and you know, look more at their playing style. As far as just on the field goes, you know, I think he's going to be a solid, you know, running back for us for years to come. And I didn't think going into this draft we would come out of the draft with a running back that I could say, oh yeah, that's going to be our next, you know, number one running back for the next 5+ years. But I think we did. I think he can be that guy if, you know, he stays out of trouble, obviously.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we're all hoping that. I have really mixed feelings on Dalvin Cook. Obviously, super explosive on the field, extremely talented. You brought up the off-field concerns, so, you know, no real need to elaborate on that. But I'm also not a huge fan of the injury issues with the hip to go along with his, you know, somewhat mediocre size to begin with at 5'11", you know, and barely 200 pounds dripping wet probably. So I don't think that his body alone can ever be that could be a three-down back for an NFL team. That's not to say that he can't be a, you know, 1,500 plus yards a season, 10 touchdowns, all-purpose type of guy, because he's got a lot of skills.
I don't even think that a three-down back. I think we're kind of moving away from that in the league anyway. You know,
absolutely.
I think that the last of that was really kind of the Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles type of time period, and or type of back, I guess. And you know, there's just not. I mean, what teams out there really do that anymore? There really isn't.
I would say maybe the Cowboys. The Cowboys is maybe the only one I can think of. But I don't watch enough Cowboys to really know.
Right. It just seems like, you know, more and more it's becoming either, you know, a split load in the backfield, you know, between two or three backs, or, you know, you just have the various specialists, you know, the back that comes in for blocking and the back that comes in, you know, it's McKinnon to catch out of the backfield or change of pace. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, we're kind of moving away from that. So, I mean, he doesn't really, I guess he's hopefully doesn't have to be expected to kind of be the Adrian Peterson type that we had for years.
No, for sure. I think that him and Murray can be an amazing combo, and I'm curious how Jerick McKinnon is going to fit into or fall out of all of this. That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
The only other thing that kind of I had with it, and, well, you touched on it partly, the drafting a running back just with that first pick in the draft that we had, I personally didn't think with the signing of Latavius Murray and having Jerick McKinnon that position was as, you know, we needed to improve and upgrade there as much as some other people did. And then seeing Dalvin Cook fall, you know, like I saw so many mocks that had him going 19 to Carolina or even higher, the Buccaneers, excuse me. But seeing him falling, I didn't like that we moved up to get someone who was already on his way down. You know, like exactly. that just in philosophical theory, I don't like that. But, you know, if you got your guy and he proves out to produce for you the way that you want him to, then it's all worth it and it all works out. It's all, you know.
Well, true.
Nobody knows yet on any of this. Nobody knows yet on any of this. It all remains to be seen whether it was good or bad. But moving on to the pick, the next Vikings pick that I was most excited about to see us make is, Ohio State University center/guard Pat Elflein at the 70th pick. And we also traded up a couple spots to get him in that one as well. I think we gave up the 79th pick and the 160th pick, something like that. I'm really excited about him. He was one of the names that I had even worthy of being taken at 48 originally when I was trying to look at offensive linemen, you know, who are really good and versatile and might still be there. So I was very excited about it. Can play center, can play guard. He's got 4 years experience at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, excuse me, alum. You know, so pro ready, you would think. And I really like that selection a lot. What do you think?
No, yeah, I agree. I think that, I mean, again, it's another guy that I didn't watch a lot of tape on, but I mean, he's just a plug and play guy. I mean, he's going to step right in. And not only is he going to step in on our line, but he's going to, I'm assuming, step in at the center position, which is, you know, holds the whole line together and leads the group. And he not only physically can play the position, I think he has the personality and the mentality to kind of play the position and kind of lead that group and pull them back together and be cohesive. Nothing against Joe Berger. I'm a big Joe Berger fan. I think he's great. But I actually think Joe plays better at guard than he does at center. Mm-hmm. So if a rookie doesn't end up beating him out, you know, which I don't think will happen, pushing him over to guard, I think, puts him actually in a better position than he was before, makes our line even stronger. So this is not only helping one position on the line, you know, we're actually kind of turning the line around and making it even better by the, you know, the addition of Pat. And I think he's just a rugged, tough, you know, guy who is going to be pushed around, and that's what we really need on the line. Last year, you know, obviously, our line was just miserable and awful, but, you know, we just didn't have toughness to us, and we really were missing that.
Oh, I totally agree. Now, after the Vikings selected Pat, they did have another pick in round three, which GM, this is when Rick Spielman started getting really trade crazy. And there was, we traded down and got three picks from Kansas City, and then we traded down from that and got two picks from San Francisco or something, and that was just for one draft pick, like, and it wasn't even the end of it by any means. But so the next time the Vikings selected ended up being at pick 109 in round four, where they took a defensive tackle from Iowa named Jaleel Johnson. What I read and researched on him is he's got really good size and really good athleticism, primarily a one-gap nose tackle type of defensive tackle, so more looking at a backup to Linval Joseph and depth at D-tackle, which we definitely needed, but not necessarily someone that's going to be looked to come in and challenge Sharif Floyd or Tom Johnson or whoever is going to be looked at to play that spot, because who knows what's going on with Sharif Floyd ever. Not the Vikings, not me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But did you like that Jaleel Johnson pick?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, like you said, I don't know what's going on with Sharif. I hope he comes back. He seems to get a little bit better every year. You know, he's never kind of lived up to his number one pick potential, but he seems to get better, and he can hold down the position pretty well when he is healthy. But, yeah, this just gives us another option to kind of rotate in. It's interesting because he's pretty quick for how big he looks. When I was watching him on tape, he's a big guy, and he holds a lot of weight in his stomach. But yet he's still
If I can interject
quick.
Real quick, he attributes a lot of that to being a wrestler in high school. Apparently he was a really good heavyweight wrestler in high school, yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, see, I mean, I don't know, you know, enough about that background to know how – I mean, I know that having a wrestling background can really help defensive and offensive linemen. I don't know, maybe you can talk about that a little bit more, about how specifically that kind of – those skills kind of translate.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to on the offensive and defensive line, how important footwork is, how important balance and stance is, leverage, you know, the use of your hands to manipulate another body, all that stuff is in play. In
well, it seems like he'll be a step ahead then of, you know, of a lot of rookies come in, they don't necessarily have all the, they don't have a lot of the leverage stuff down, you know, or a lot of the positioning. They just kind of, you know, are used to just rushing the quarterback. And I know the D-line coach here does a lot of handwork and leverage. So, I don't know, maybe he'll be a step ahead coming in. Like you said, I think he'll be solid depth backup. Maybe, you know, potential, you know, coming in and playing with first team defense or the first team line here and there. But I don't know. I hope Sharif comes back because I don't really want to, you know, rely on a rookie defense. Tackle necessarily to come in and start right away.
I agree completely, but I do think with Jaleel there is a ton of potential and upside. It's just a matter of converting his physical skills into football skills and making sure that that football IQ is also there.
Well, and he comes,
knowing what Zimmer
he comes
wants
from
him
a good,
to do.
Great school too.
Yeah, right, the University of Iowa. Go Hawkeyes. Moving exactly. on, the Vikings had one more pick in round four. They used that 120th overall to select linebacker out of Michigan, Ben Gedeon? Gedeon? Something like
That's
that.
Right,
I'm not
yeah.
sure. I think it's Gedeon. I don't know.
Yep.
Overall on him, what I've gathered, not the most talented guy, but, you know, very good character. Only 1 year starter at Michigan. He can play inside or outside linebacker, so he's got some flexibility.
Yep.
And definitely going to be looking at to, you know, hopefully contribute on special teams as well. Kind of your yep. same, what you know about him too?
Yeah, and you know, honestly, when they drafted him, I mean, not only looks-wise, but, you know, play-wise on tape and everything else, he seems like a Mike Motti, Audie Cole replacement, really. You know, because Audie obviously yep. left in free agency.
Yep.
They needed that big, tall, strong linebacker who excels on special teams and can, you know, be a solid backup, come in, you know, play if somebody, if one of the starters slows down. It does worry me. The linebacker position really worries me on this team. I just don't know that we have another third starting linebacker outside of Barr and Kendricks. And not only that, but Barr and Kendricks have had, you know, a pretty intense injury history. So right. I guess I'm kind of wondering who's going to step up in into that other starting linebacker role.
Do the Vikings still have that Lemur guy from the Bengals or whatever that we signed last year in free agency?
They do.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yes, they do.
I guess one can hope then that he proves to be a good signing this year.
Right. Yeah, no, his play last year when he did step in was about average, you know, wasn't anything outstanding. So Agreed. I'm not, you know, again, I think we just need somebody to kind of step up. So.
Yep, and, you know, if Kendricks and Barr, I think, can be those guys to step up, too. If they can just stay healthy and return to the form that
oh, yeah.
they've shown us, you know.
They were.
Defense has used so many nickel packages with two linebackers as opposed
exactly.
to three anyway. It can be debated how important that third linebacker is to begin with, but that's a whole other podcast. So we'll move on to round five, where the Vikings used the 170th overall pick to select a wide receiver out of Southern Florida, Rodney Adams. What I've seen on him is he's got really good speed and some return skills. And the Vikings lost Cordarrelle Patterson, so I'm kind of looking
yep.
at Rodney Adams and one of the other names to come up on this list as, you know, they're looking for that potential replacement.
Exactly. Yeah, no, when I first watched him on film, I'm like, this thin, tiny little guy, I'm like, what are they even going to do with him? You know, and then they're everybody's talking about, oh, well, he'll replace Patterson. He's a really good return guy. I had to watch some more film. And then I'm seeing him running sweeps, you know, his reverse sweeps and returning kicks and punts, and he can do everything that Patterson does. I don't know that he's as athletically gifted as Cordarrelle is naturally, but he can do a lot of things that Cordarrelle did, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, honestly.
I agree, and I also think it's a little interesting, a little bit of a question mark, too, going into the season. what the Vikings are going to do at the slot receiver position, if Treadwell is going to be able to work his way to the number two wide receiver and that moves Thielen to the slot, if Thielen's going to have to play number two, and then you need a guy like a Jarius Wright or maybe a Rodney Adams or somebody to play in that slot receiver role. Be interesting to see how that turns out, too.
I'm make my quick Jarius Wright plug here. Because I don't know what the deal is, but I mean, every chance he's had, every opportunity he's had to field and to be catching passes, I mean, he can be a amazing slot wide receiver. I don't know why they don't include him more. We'll see if he even makes the team.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's just one big question mark right now yet, but we'll see.